Good morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord is with us to guide, encourage, and love us in all situations? Praise be to God. This is Valentine's Day. We love others because Christ first loved us. Today, we will talk about identities that we receive throughout life. We are identified physically, emotionally, and spiritually by others. When I was a child, I was Tommy. On my report card at age 5, it says, Tommy is doing good, but he always wants to be first. I tend to be competitive. I was also called Duck. I was a Bugs Bunny fan. I became a teenager. My name was Tom Allaire. Playing basketball, I was called Twinkle Toes, or Twink for short. As an adult, I became Thomas Allaire. When I write a check, I am Thomas H. Allaire. On my passport, I am Thomas Hubert Allaire. I am Boo to my wife, Anita, short for Boo-Boo. Therefore, I am a Boo-Boo. Sometimes we have tone behind our identities. If I'm in my office and across the house, I hear a voice, Thomas Hubert, I am in trouble. Where do I hide? I'm also called Pops, Poppy, Gramps, Dad, Papa. Some names for me are not very flattering, such as Idiot, Bozo, Crazy. Oh, what friends will say. I am a husband, father, grandfather, uncle, cousin, etc. In school, I was a student, a professor, a doctor of ministry development. We have different titles and work, depending on our positions. I am a sinner. When I accepted Christ at age 15, I became a Christian, a follower of Christ. The point is, each of us have identities that others associate to us. In the Word of God, our Lord gives us various identities of Himself. It starts right off in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural form. The I am is like an S in English. Elohim, the name for God, is shown in over 2,500 different passages in the Old Testament. God is revealing to us that He is the creator of all things and is in three persons. The last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22:21, we see that our Lord Jesus as the gracious one. There are over 100 identities of Christ in the New Testament. Just as we are known by our identities, our Lord wants us to know about Him because He loves us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we acknowledge Your presence this morning. May we discern Your message, be encouraged, lifted up in joy, abounded in hope, brought to a better understanding of who You are, that Your light in us shines brightly as we walk Your walk today. In Jesus' name, Amen. In the Gospel of John, Jesus reveals 7 I ams, or metaphors, of Himself. As we will see, Jesus is describing a spiritual identity using different terms. Now, we could have a month of sermons on each I am in John, but we will summarize them to reflect what Jesus is showing us about Himself, expressing His saving relationship toward the world. Let us go to our Bibles, John chapter 6. First, let us look at the context and scene here. Jesus is by the Lake Galilee, and people are seeking Him. They're coming in boats all the way from Tiberias, a city on the lake. It's still there today. They ask Him, what sign will you do? Will it be manna or bread from heaven? Jesus tells them, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. They say, Lord, give us this bread always. Then Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. To the Jews, bread was a main staple each day. Women would get up early to mix the dough, unleavened or without yeast, by God's direction, prepared in a fire oven. It's called matzoh. It looks like a flat cracker. It represents hastiness in remembrance of the Exodus journey. It is cooked quickly, less than 18 minutes. Physical food, though, is not what Jesus is referring here. Physical food only lasts for a while. It will eventually spoil. It has to be replaced, just like the manna in the wilderness journey. Jesus is telling us about our spiritual life and the bread he gives that lasts forever. What Jesus feeds us in his word sustains us throughout all situations. We are to feed upon his word. Jesus is the bread of life. It is to be taken daily. In John 8, we have the second I am. The context and scene here is, Jesus is in the temple. They were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. The Pharisees bring to him an adulterous woman and ask him, because of her sin, should she be stoned? Jesus tells them, he who has not sinned, throw the first stone. Jesus then tells the woman, I condemn you not, sin no more. Jesus now uses a metaphor in verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated October 3rd to the 9th, a seven-day festival after the Day of Atonement. It's called a celebration of lights. Four large lamps were lit in the temple's court of women, sometimes called the middle court. A nightly celebration took place under these lights with people dancing through the night, holding burning torches and singing songs and praises. Jesus uses this scene to tell us the light that shines brightly and eternally is found only in him. We are to follow his light completely. Also, a veil reference exists here to the Jews, following the cloud and pillar of fire in the Exodus, relying totally on his direction. We are attached ourselves to the light of Christ, for the darkness is not in him. The third I am reference is in John 10. Actually, we have two I am references in the same context and scene. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and answering their questions. Are we blind also? The scene is the door of the sheepfold. The doorkeeper knows his own sheep, and as the sheep hear his voice, the door is open. But the Pharisees did not understand the illustration. Then Jesus says in 10, beginning with verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. The point here is a sheep who knows the doorkeeper will be allowed through the door. The sheep and the doorkeeper know each other's voice. Salvation for God's sheep is knowing personally Christ the door, which will be open to all who want to enter. The fourth I am metaphor is tied to the doorkeeper in chapter 10. Jesus follows up on the sheep illustration, verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus continues, I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus tells us that he is the good or noble shepherd. He gives his life for the flock. He is interested in the well-being and direction of his flock. Have you ever worked with sheep? The Western method of sheep herding is behind the flock, prodding them along with a long stick with a sheepdog. When I was young, we had a neighbor who had a sheep that was asked from time to time to move to different pastures. What a hassle moving those sheep through the gates. They definitely are stubborn animals wanting to go their own way. Does that sound familiar? Eastern shepherds, though, lead their sheep to good pasture. They would whistle and the sheep would hear the trusting the voice of the shepherd. As the sheep go through the gate, the Eastern shepherd inspects the sheep. If the sheep has a blood wound, for example, sheep would go and bang their heads against rocks to get rid of the bugs in their sheep wool. The shepherd then would treat the wound with oil. If the sheep is limping, the shepherd would mend the leg with a splint from his knapsack. If the sheep had runny eyes, the shepherd washes its eyes with water. The shepherd not only leads the sheep, but also cares for the sheep along the way. We We need to trust the voice of the Good Shepherd to lead us in our walk with Him. When He calls, we are to respond, for He will lead and protect us all the way in our journey. The fifth I Am metaphor is in John 11. The scene here is at Mary and Martha's house in Bethany, a short distance from Jerusalem. It's about 2 miles. Their brother Lazarus is quite ill. In fact, he's deadly ill. Jesus hears about his good friend's illness, but does not go to Mary and Martha's house for over 2 days. Jesus knows that Lazarus will die. He eventually arrives at the house. Lazarus has died and buried. It's been 4 days now. Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha responds, "Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Then Jesus responds in a profound way in 11:25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And to show that is true, Jesus proceeds to raise Lazarus from the grave. Jesus has the power over life and death, revealed in this story and at the cross. We can be assured of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, for death has no sting. The sixth I Am metaphor is in John 14. The scene here is Jesus talking to the disciples. He is comforting them by saying a place has been prepared for them. He will come to receive them unto himself. Then Thomas asks a question. How can we know the way? John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way to God because he is the truth of God and the life of God. There is only one way to God, through the Son, Jesus Christ. We are to seek him first. In the first century, Christians were called the Way. When we were in Ephesus, we saw a round symbol in Greek engraved on the doorpost of the entrance to a place of worship and fellowship. It was a symbol of the Way. There is a Way International group today located out of Ohio. When we follow Jesus, the way to God, eternal life is a direct path. Staying on that path sometimes is difficult. We get sidetracked. We need to keep our focus on the signpost given by God directing our way. The last I Am identity is found in John 15. The scene, Judas, a disciple, not Iscariot, asks Jesus a question. "Why do you manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answers that he will leave, but a helper, the Holy Spirit, will be present to teach you and the world all things. Then Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." The picture here is a wine dresser getting rid of dead wood so that the living fruit bearing branches may be sharply distinguished. Jesus does the pruning. He chastises to cut away sin and hindrances that would drain spiritual life, just as a farmer removes anything on the branches that keep them from bearing maximum fruit. In summary, Christ has given us in John 7 I Am identities of his relationship to his own. We need to feed upon his word. We are to maintain the light he gives us to shine for him. We are to remember the doorkeeper, for the door is open for those to enter in his fellowship. We are to adhere to the voice of the Good Shepherd who leads us to good pasture. The resurrection to eternal life is through him. Christ is the only and true way for eternal fellowship with our Lord. And finally, we are to call upon his forgiveness. Christ will trim our branches from sin and hindrances that we may bear good fruit for his cause and glory. Because of what Christ has done, I am forgiven. I am reconciled with God. I am rescued. I am redeemed by his blood. I am bought with a price and belong to God. I am known by God. I am chosen. I am justified before God. I am accepted. I am saved. I am alive in Christ. I am free from condemnation. I am loved. I am cared for. Each of you can claim these I Ams. Praise God for what he has done for you and for me. Talk to someone today Tell them how much you love them. They are awaiting your call. Your day will be triumphant in Christ. Seek him first, for he is the great I Am.